So this morning we continue our retreat here, couples retreat, as we look at the whole business of husbands meeting their wives' emotional needs. My name is Emeka. I think I still remember many of the names. We'll find out as we proceed. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning, and thank you again that we have this privilege to listen to you as you speak to us from your word, and as we interact over it, we ask that you unfold your word to us. We use your word to renew our minds, and so that we'll be transformed and better align our lives to what you want. So be with us this morning as we look at this subject of meeting our wives' emotional needs. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
On your wedding day, you were excited, weren't you?
Not sure.
When you couldn't wait for the to say I do. And as you took that vow, we saw yesterday, whether we realized it at the time or not, we were actually making a vow to God. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, the fine print of the vow we were making to God is that we will take care of her, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and taking care of her includes meeting her emotional needs. So that's what we'll be talking about today. What makes a happy wife?
Is it too small? I thought it would make it bigger.
What makes a happy wife? Answer is meeting your wife's emotional needs. If you succeed in this, to a large extent, your wife will be willing to forgive you almost anything. And she will be willing to give you almost anything. So as you can see, we are looking at how to meet our wives' emotional needs, and the wives are listening to and looking at how to make our marriages sexually exciting. Somehow the two go hand in hand. Yeah? We want what they have to give us, and they want what we have to give them. Some years ago, I read a cartoon I saw. An elderly lady had met a teenage girl in the park, and the teenage girl was sobbing. And immediately, the elderly lady from experience understood what the problem was. So she walked to the teenage girl and asked, "It's him, right?" The teenage girl amidst her sob nodded. "And he won't give it, right?" Somehow, they knew what the issue was. And what was the issue? What was it she wanted? She wanted her boyfriend's heart, and somehow, that's something us men find hardest to give. And many times when you talk to men about meeting their wives' emotional needs, they appear confused, and yet they forget that that's how they won the girl's heart in the first place. So we'll be reminding ourselves some of the things we did that won the girl, that enabled us to win the girl in the first place, and to help us see that it doesn't stop after we have said I do. If anything, it should intensify because of several other factors. Well, I saw this definition somewhere, and I think it made sense. It's a craving that, when satisfied, leaves you with a feeling of happiness. And in case you're wondering, what's an emotional need? It's a craving, right? that when satisfied leaves you with a feeling of happiness and contentment, and when unsatisfied can cause can be the root to so many other troubles you will have and frustrations you will have in your marriage. Our key text is still Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. When you look at this, what does that look like? A suggestion or a command? A command. And if it's a command, you know what we're supposed to do with a command, isn't it? What do we do with it?
Obey.
Do we ask to understand why? If you're lucky to get the reason why, but otherwise, you just obey, right? And to obey, you need to understand what it means. So that's why God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. So we'll be meditating on this verse so that we'll be able to know how to apply it, isn't it? Yeah. We'll be meditating on this verse and so we'll know how to apply it. Here are a few of our wives. Here are some things about our wife's emotional needs we need to know. They are legitimate. God created them with those needs, just as he created us with needs. Your own grace is looking for you. Because they are legitimate, you will never come a time when our wives will outgrow those needs. Just as you will never us men will never outgrow our need for sex. So likewise, they will never outgrow their need for those emotional needs. When you are courting your wife and did all those nice things, some of us will speak with them. Now, in these days of cell phone, right? We'll do all-nighters because it's free call at certain hours of the day, right? We'll do all-nighters with them on the phone and talk and talk and talk. We'll extend ourselves to meet every need. Oh, I want meat pie. You ask, which place? Mr. Biggs, Chicken Republic? Well, okay, I don't know what the options here. You know? Quick. If you meet her and there is a suggestion of a frown on her face, you won't rest until you find out why that frown on her face. No matter how many times she says to you, it's nothing, don't bother about it. But when you get married, somehow we hang that boot, right? Did we play them 419? Were we deceiving them?
Mission accomplished.
That's what it seems like. But mission hasn't been accomplished, actually. It's just beginning. It's just beginning. So let's not act as if we cheated them, we tricked them. Let's not give room to, my husband has changed. So if you wonder why she thinks that way, it's very likely that we have stopped meeting their emotional needs. We have stopped doing some of those nice, mushy things that we used to do when we were dating. It would be cruel of us to expect them to meet our own emotional needs and not be ready to meet theirs. To be unfair, isn't it? Yeah. To be unfair. Because these are legitimate needs, these are God-given needs, we don't need to try to understand them. The objective is not try to understand. Why does she like meat pie so much? Or why does she like ice cream so much? Or why does she like whatever it is she likes that makes her happy? Our goal is just to accept it and do our best to meet them. And whenever you are feeling like not meeting those needs, it will help you to stop and ask yourself, if you don't, who do you want to meet those needs? Like Reverend Mom would say, is this Brother Ahaz? You have delegated that responsibility to. So you better make it be clear on that. So we'll look at those emotional needs one by one. Okay, well, here are some of the emotional needs that, of course, there is a long list, but here are a few of the major ones. Our wives have an unending need for admiration. And they have an unending, insatiable need to talk. Comfort and security is another big one. Comfort and care is another one. There are several others, but this we'll just touch on a few of them. The goal is not to exhaustively cover all the possible emotional needs, but just to remind us that they are there and that they are legitimate needs that God expects us to meet, because it was part of the fine print of the covenant or the vow we took when we said, I do. Proverbs 31, verses 28 to 31. Who wants to read that for us? Tiny, but some.
Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised.
Okay.
Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise.
Our wives have an unquenchable need for admiration. Remember how you used to notice the different hairstyles, right? Yeah, we used to notice at some point. Maybe like Wilson says, mission accomplished. So we remove the lens, remove the children. But no, it's actually just begun. Her husband praises her. Song of Songs, in case you're looking for thinking of how to praise your wife, Song of Songs provides us some clues of some of the ways we can praise our wives. Mo, you want to read that?
Okay. You are beautiful, my darling. Beautiful beyond words. Your eyes are like those. Your hair falls in waves. Your teeth are like white as sheep. Your smile is flawless. Your lips are like scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is inviting. Your
cheeks
are like rose.
Not your rose.
Oh, where did that go? Rosy.
You can go closer.
Your neck is as beautiful, your breasts are like two fawns. I will hurry to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my darling, beautiful in every way. You have captured my heart, my treasure, my bride. You hold it hostage with one glance of your eye. Your love delights me, my treasure, my bride. Your love is better than wine. Your lips are as sweet. Honey and milk are under your tongue. Your clothes are
scented
like the car.
Cedar of Lebanon. All right. So her husband praises her, And here are some of the ways her husband can praise her. Your eyes. When was the last time you noticed? Do you know the color of your wife's eyes? You know. Okay. When was the last time you told her that you like the color of her eyes? Her hair. That's one area that used to cause quarrel with my wife. Now you didn't even notice that I... Not that you didn't see, that you didn't comment is the offense.
Even so, if it's a wig.
Yes. You should notice that you've changed your hair, you should make a comment, okay? And the comment must be positive, right?
Yeah.
Your teeth, your smile. Now that's the one, if you want your wife to smile more, comment on her smile. And she will smile more because she knows he likes it. She'll give it to you more. Your lips, your mouth is inviting, your cheeks are rosy, your neck is beautiful, your breasts are like two fawns. But often we will neglect all of that and we want to hurry to the mountain of Nine and wonder why the mountain is out of bounds. So our wives have an unquenching need for admiration. You don't want some other man to be complimenting your wife, do you? Because women are like flowers. They always look for the sun. So when the sun moves, if you watch flowers, when the sun moves, the flowers tend to tilt towards the direction of the sun. So they will lean towards the direction of the person who compliments them. Better be you. Better be you. So admiration is one big need, emotional need that our wives have, that we need to work on. If you can't say it, write it. Leave her a note. But you have to notice, you have to compliment her. Her looks, her clothes are scented. So she dresses up for church on Sunday, or those of them who walk outside the home, she dresses up to go to work, and as she's entering the car, maybe you are the one who drops her off. Don't lose the opportunity to compliment her clothes. That dress looks nice on you. Okay? So, admiration. Conversation is another big one. There was a joke that trended on some of the social WhatsApp platform that I'm a part of, that research has shown that women, on average, need to speak at an average 8,000 words in a day, and compared to men's 2,000 words. And the joke was, so men, when you hear your wife talking or needing to talk, allow her. She needs to meet her daily quota. Yeah, it may be a joke, but that's a reality that women want to talk. They love to talk. When we meet, even if it's been 3 years since we have met, in less than 10 minutes, we have finished catching up. And in fact, there was one day we came to your house after a long time, after the COVID, the first time we came. My wife was like, won't you people go and catch up? I said, we are finished. Meanwhile, they were just, she and Grace were just warming up. We have finished. So don't expect your wife to be like you. She wants to give you all the details. Give her a listening ear. And the reason is because that's what God does to us, isn't it? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And so he gave us unrestricted access to God. That we can come to God anytime, any place, with just about anything, and God will listen, right? At any time, he will listen, no matter how many times you come. And so if that's how Christ loved the church and loves us, we need to love our wives like that, to give them listening ears, allow them to talk. When the early days of our marriage, I used to be an early nighter, and my wife is around 10 o'clock is when she's thinking about going to bed. Me, since 8 o'clock, I've been ready to go to sleep. Oh yeah. So, it used to be quarrel. And usually, it's when she comes to bed that she wants to talk. And my eyes are heavy. And but now I'm learning, so I'm learning to stay awake up to 10 o'clock and all of that. So it would be unfair for me to expect that, oh, why do you have to wait till this time to come and talk? Jesus gave us unlimited access to God, that we can talk and talk to God. So as we want to love our wives like Christ loved the church, we need to also give our wives access and permission to talk to us. Not just to talk, but that we are listening. Okay? Sometimes my wife is talking to me, but her eyes are on the TV, and I will think that, it's okay if I'm not listening. But she knows when I'm not listening. And she will nudge me and say, you're not listening to me. You know, I thought, she was watching the TV. Now, how can you be talking and watching TV? That's not my concern. As far as she's concerned, that shouldn't be my bother. My bother is that I should listen, because she has something to say. Yeah. And interestingly, the longer we've been married, the longer the gist has grown. Because she's feeling more comfortable. So she wants to talk about a lot of things. Oh, she went to the market, and the ride to the market, the things that happened in the market, how she negotiated for the item, and all of that. And the other lesson I learned is that a lot of the times when she was talking, it's just for me to listen. It's not for me to proffer any solution, especially if it's some issues that she's raising. You know, us men, we like to fix things. Okay, there's a problem. Okay, fix it. Why not do it this way? No, that's not exactly what she's interested in. She just wanted me to listen. So conversational intimacy is one big emotional need our wives have, that they want, that just as Christ gave us access to God, that we need to work hard at meeting. So if you need to adjust your schedule to make room for that, adjust your schedule to make room for that. Sometimes my wife and I have we call it business appointment. Yeah, fixed time and date where we sit down. Okay, let's talk. Yes, it can be that bad, yeah, especially when you are busy. Because if you are not intentional about it, it won't happen.
Yeah.
So if you want her to talk, you want to sleep when you want to, then create another time that is suitable for her to get that listening. Yeah, but we must work at making it happen, because it's a legitimate need God has created them with, that He wants us to meet, that we signed up to meet actually. So let's meet it. Let's not deprive them. Comfort and security. Philip.
Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Have you experienced this before? That you are able to present your request to God and the peace of God envelops your heart? Have you? What are the things that you praise? What are some of the things that make you anxious?
Unresolved problems.
Unresolved problems.
Money to provide.
Okay, money, when the money is tight. Do you know what makes your wife anxious?
Baby crying.
Baby crying.
She repeatedly talks about something she wants.
Yes. Maybe that light bulb that needs to be changed, eh? She's told you about it several times, and somehow, we manage to forget, as is our nature.
Yes, sir.
But you won't realize that, hey, that thing is depleting her emotional bank, as minor as an dead electric bulb is. You may think that, who goes to that part of the house anyway? It's no big deal, but the fact that she raised it means that for her it's a big deal. And it will cause her anxiety as long as that thing remains there unresolved. My wife is, so money issues, like your rent is falling due, at a certain date. It's a huge source of anxiety if your wife has not received any assurance from you that you have the money to pay the rent when it falls due, or school fees, or any other such things. It may just be a verbal reassurance, because they cause our anxiety, and when your wife is anxious, it will affect so many other aspects of her life. Another thing that causes my wife anxiety is when she goes out, like I said earlier on, and comes back and doesn't get the opportunity to offload some of the things she experienced out there. It causes her anxiety, because it means she's carrying a burden that she just wants to let it out. So just as Jesus made the provision for us that we are able to cast all our anxiety on God, that we are able to freely come bring our concerns to God in prayer, so that God's peace will envelop our hearts, is the same way wives, God expects us to provide that kind of environment where our wives are able to unburden the things that are bothering them. We may not have the solution to all of them, but that they are able to offload those anxious thoughts and concerns is in itself half the solution for them. That's why you wonder sometimes, you see some rascals with very decent girls, and you wonder, what did this girl find in this rascal? Just that somehow this rascal has found the secret key to talk, right? Yeah. So let's learn to be good salesmen when it comes to our wives. Salesmen will promise you, they'll tell you, this iron will last you for the next 50 years. Meanwhile, it will break down 2 weeks down the road if it lasts that long. Now, of course, that's not an invitation to be deceptive, but just to give you an idea how important it is that we are giving our wives, we are helping take care of our wives' anxieties. Of course, we'll talk about the provision bit in detail, but there's also the aspect of security, sense of security. Security can be that you're not being careless. You don't go out at night or come back late, because when you're not home, they are anxious. Not to talk of when it's already dark and you want to go somewhere. It heightens the anxiety for them. Or in our driving, for those of us who have the gene of Jehu. Yeah, not many women enjoy that type of driving, believe me. Especially when the children are in the car, it makes them feel unsafe. So are we conscious of that? You may be a good driver, it's true, but if your wife expresses concern about your driving, it makes sense to show her that you have heard her, because it makes her feel unsafe. So her emotional comfort and security is a big need that our wives have. Do we know what it is, what they are, that give them a sense of insecurity and discomfort? We will not know if we don't ask and if we are not attentive. So let's work at finding out what those things are, and let's pay attention to their comments, to their reactions, to some of the things we do that could be depleting their emotional bank, and so making life, living with them, a lot more difficult than it should be. Is there a sound in the car? My wife doesn't want to know. Hear one tiny sound. If your mechanic has said, no, it's no big deal, take it, you would say, take it to another mechanic. Maybe this one doesn't know what the problem is. Because she fears that that car may break down at the wrong place at the wrong time someday while you people are traveling, as cars often do. So especially in these days of heightened insecurity in our country, you don't want to have a car break down at the wrong place, do you? Yeah. So let's be more mindful. Some more on the emotional comfort and care. First Peter 3:7, in the same way you husbands live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and tact, with an intelligent regard for the marriage relationship, as with someone physically weaker. Physically weaker, yeah, because that's the way God created them. They are more delicate. So in our interaction with them, are we gentle? When you want to talk to your wife, do you consciously moderate your tone? Because women can easily get emotionally broken or hurt. Don't mind their show of braggado. Show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered or ineffective. Now, if that doesn't scare you, and then that doesn't catch your attention, that, hey, look, how you treat your wife can impact your prayers. So that's additional motivation to be gentle with our spouses, to be more attentive to their emotional needs. But he started with, in the same way, you know, verses 1 to 6 talked about how wives ought to submit. So if a wife has, if you feel a great need for your wife to submit to you, he's saying your wife also has a great need for you to be gentle in your way you relate with her. So two sides of the coin. And then he gives us additional motivation so that your prayers will not be hindered or ineffective. So you know, when you talk about your prayer, that's the prayers that are not going beyond the ceiling. It's not there are no demons preventing them. It may just be that it's how I'm treating my wife that is blocking the prayer from getting to God. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. It says never. That's a hard one, isn't it? Never treat them harshly. To never do something means to be 24-hour vigilant, isn't it? Yeah, 24-hour vigilant. Never treat them harshly. So, if you do not meet these needs, who do you want to meet them? Does your wife have any moral alternative? Are you happy if some other brother takes up the slack for you and she's actually enjoying it? Will that make you happy? If it doesn't make you happy and you're not meeting the needs, it means that you have trapped her in the prison of the Christian marriage. She won't get what she needs. She has no option. If you're careless about her emotional needs, are you okay when she's careless about your own needs? Because you can't be careless about her emotional need and expect her to go all out to meet your own needs. Well, this last point will have been appropriate for those who are not yet married. But since you are married, fulfill your vow. Because you swore to God to do it. If you hadn't come along, some other nicer guy would have come, married her, who will meet those needs. But you didn't allow that to happen. So do what you promised. So pull out your application sheet and write so that you won't be looking for some other time to do it. What is something God wants me to know? Or it could be a reminder of something that you knew before that God has reminded you about concerning meeting your wife's emotional need. Write it down in your worksheet. Yours is not here.
But I have it.
Okay. Okay, so write it. Okay, write it. You can transfer it there. Okay. Two, what is something God wants me to be? What will it take for you to be a man who meets his wife's emotional needs? It may be being a good listener. It may be being a good talker. Many of us struggle with talking. So you can't continue to give the excuse that, oh, you know, I'm not a talker. Your wife likes to hear you talk. So just as you pray for grace for other things, God give me grace to do X, Y, Z. You can add this one to God, give me grace to be a talker, at least with my wife. After all, we talked, right, to woo, when we were trying to woo them. Nobody won. Did anybody here win their wife by just looking at her? You said something. So say it, even if it means repeating the same thing over and over. When was the last time you told her, I love you? What is something God wants me to do? We saw in the Song of Songs 4:1-11. Is there something there that you need to start doing or start doing more of? Noticing her hair when she spent those hours in the salon. It's not just enough to give her the money to make the hair. You need to show that you saw, you noticed, and you appreciate what she did with the money you gave her. It's not just enough to pay for the tailor to make those nice dresses. When she needs money for perfume, don't think it's a frivolity. She's actually doing it for you, you know. So, what does God want me to know? What does God want me to be? What does God want me to do? Have we filled it all out?
Yes.
Great. So let's pray. Israel, could you pray for us, please?
Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful lesson.